for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Dear friend Rob Schneider in tonight.
Hey, baby, it's an honor.
I saw Drew last night on Dateline talking about Michael Jackson.
Mm. Oh, yeah, what was going on?
They aired that over and over again. That was on MSNBC.
Is something new going on with him? I don't know. What's happening?
Yeah, same old thing.
What's up? People kind of finally going...
Okay, I get it.
Yeah. Okay. So Kobe's got to be psyched, huh?
Yeah.
How psyched is Kobe Bryant?
Probably about as psyched as Pam, what's her name was when the World Trade Centers went down. Was it, who's the female comedian who was accused of child molestation?
Oh, Paula Poundstone.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Probably about that psych. Although she probably had some regret. Like, on one hand, I don't have to face the press with these allegations because of the mitigating circumstances. On the other hand, there's 3,000 Americans dead.
Oh, well.
I'm saying that's where the mixed feelings came in. Whereas Kobe, it's just pure bliss.
You say, what? That's good. Oh, yeah. If they can just make the court dates about the same time.
Rob, you do a horrible Paula Poundstone.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
So, I just got back from Vegas.
Yeah, how was that?
Oh, it was good.
You like Vegas? No, you hate Vegas.
No,
was it the
I
whole
don't
weekend
like
there?
Vegas.
So, what were you doing there?
We do crank anchors from
Vegas.
Oh, yeah,
I heard
that. We have to do the recording from
Vegas. But why do you have to do it in Vegas? Tax kind of scam?
Legal.
No, it's illegal to do the phone calls from Los Angeles, but guess where it is legal?
But can't we just do it like a phone conferencing thing from Vegas? You don't have to actually go there.
You know, I just have to think of something, Adam. You know, your idea of everything being uniform across all states.
Yes.
Think how horrible that would be for you wanting to get away with special things.
No, look at it this way. I look at it as that would all be legal in California.
It wouldn't, though.
It's like Florida. You don't want to masturbate in a theater in Florida. Certain things you don't want to do.
We, speaking of Florida, have a Germany or Florida.
Let's start with that.
We'll explain to Rob what this is. It's a new game that's sweeping the nation, which is all we've discovered this on the Jimmy Kimmel show. I have to give him props, which is all bizarre news stories either come from Germany or Florida.
No, you're right.
You hear the news story.
It's very odd, but yes.
You hear the news story. 90%. And then we guess Germany or Florida.
And Adam is uncanny.
Yeah.
He's about 85 out of 86.
No, honestly, the crazy people in Europe came to America. The crazy people in America came out to California. The crazy people who didn't have any money to go out to California stayed in Florida or went to Florida somehow.
Right.
They
got
hitched the ride. Florida's crazy.
There's actually some sort of polar attraction. So there's a drift.
there's some biological, some anthropological
thing.
Well, we don't understand all there is to know about magnetic fields and things like that.
But there's some crazy stuff going on in Florida. People are nuts.
Oh, well, we'll find out. Oh, by the way, I saw Blue Man Saturday night.
Good?
It's good.
Yeah.
It's weird when you talk to them. We talked to them backstage. It's weird when they start talking.
I got to say, I don't like Blue Man group at all. I did a joke because I said, you know, we take the blue off. They got nothing. You know, I did Blue Man Ass Group on Conan O'Brien about 10 years. I just painted my ass blue. And I asked them if they'd come on, and they wouldn't. And I just thought,
oh, really?
Cowards for that.
Cowards,
yeah.
Well, I don't know how many. This
didn't love it. Honestly,
the Vegas crew. Well, let me say this about the Blue Man thing. I hope none of them are listening because they're all fans of the show over there.
Yeah.
But at least of me. I don't know. They seem to be glad to see me. They got blue all over my jacket hugging me. Here's the thing. If it gets built up too big, it's no good. It's just like anything.
I don't like them doing car commercials and crap. You know it's over at that point.
They do a car commercial?
No, they do anything that they get off
of. Oh, really?
Yes.
Never seen them do anything.
They do, yeah. They're on commercials. And it's over, Blue Man Group, but whatever. So you're saying?
I'm saying that the stuff they do is interesting and has a wow factor, except for I had Blue Man built up for too many years.
Oh, yeah.
I'd never seen him before. people have been talking about Blue Man for 5-6 years, maybe 10 years. So whenever you do that, it's like as if a movie stayed in the theater for 10 years.
Right.
By the time you got around to seeing it,
it can't live up to the hype. Yeah, if you're an 11 to 13 year old boy, Blue Man Group is gonna be great to you.
I forgot the biggest component. That show is specifically made for people who are high.
Seriously,
That's what it is. It's made for the stoners. Yeah, you need to be stoned. I wasn't stoned.
What if you're on mushrooms? That's the idea.
If you're
visually,
mushrooms.
Yeah, visually, it's, you know, they're splitting paint and they're blowing, marshmallows.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah, and there's all sorts of sort of rhythmic drum stuff. If you're high, lots of lasers and stuff. If you're high, it's great. If you're not...
So what do you think of the Michael Jackson thing?
What is there anything? What's sad is for the news media's got to be angry. There's nothing new till January 9th. Long way to go to squeeze out any new information or regurgitate the same old crap.
Is that when he's arraigned, or is that when what are they doing?
That's when the formal charges will be made public.
It's going to be a long time before there's a trial.
But 120 pounds, so you know he's taking care of himself.
What I said, right? It's starting to emerge what the pattern is here, right?
I agree that there's a pattern going on, but isn't there also something that, like, if he's a chronic, you know, serial child molester, there wouldn't have been more than one other guy coming forward?
I think the news we're going to hear about
Yeah, the news guys were chewing on my ears a little bit before I actually did the little piece with them. They've got a lot of stuff.
I will say this. I have heard from some people in the law enforcement that they found some love letters.
Oh, really?
The thing that's going to boil down to whether he did anything.
And if I heard it, you know it's out there.
If you just separate, I know his problem is we're used to everything, but if you step back and get a little distance.
Well, step back for us.
Here's the thing. He loves kids. He loves the world's kids. He loves the nation's kids. He loves all children, except for the chicks. That's if you really think about that. Just think about that.
Okay,
nobody loves kids
that.
More than him with the penis. The gals, they can move along. You guys go back to Biafra. I got to bang some kids in my circular bed.
He's younger than he's older than you.
Yes.
Let's say your buddy, your kid goes over to play at the Neverland and spends the night with your friend, your 45-year-old friend.
They were talking.
More than a little odd.
If my kids go over to your house, spend the night.
They're not going to stay in the bed with me. I wouldn't feel comfortable with that.
They shouldn't be staying in bed with their own parents, let alone with somebody else's, some other 45-year-old unmarried guy.
Well, they interviewed the first cop.
Especially with the makeup he's got on.
Yeah. I think it was on. Imagine what that pillow looks like. Black people have enough trouble with the pillow, with the hair relaxer and the Jerry Curl juice and all that kind of stuff. Black people have to wear shower hats when they go to bed. Drew, did you know that? You didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that.
They have to, otherwise they ruin the pillow with the relaxer and the cherry curl.
It makes sense now that you say it, yes.
Right. Now, but he's not only got that, but he's got rouge and kissing potion. So he's got the cherry curl, he's got the kissing potion, he's got the hair relaxer, and he's got the rouge on the pillow.
And he's got the soft...
Just a mess.
He's got the soft, the romantic music playing.
Oh, my God.
To help the kids sleep.
Disaster that
to help them sleep.
But they interviewed the cop who was going to prosecute the first case 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And he said, look, we had plenty of evidence. We were planning on moving forward, and then he just settled out of court.
Yeah,
we lost our star witness, and so we had to fold up shop.
Yeah.
And
so they can't propel him to testify.
They couldn't. Now they can.
The laws have changed since then.
The new guy, they can't.
Yeah, laws have changed.
And it's a good law in the sense that the law basically says, look, if a crime was committed, a crime was committed. You can't just go around the law and offer you some money to be quiet.
In a way, you're allowing a criminal to go out and do more criminal activity. You're committing.
Yeah, if I have a horrible temper and I stabbed Rob and Rob said, you'll be going to prison for this, and then I just got to Rob a month later and I said, Rob, here's a little money, let's just forget about it. And Rob said, all right, I won't testify anymore. Well, now you got me
and
with my knife.
And they stabbed me next, and I'm
Right. So they made a law that says these kids will testify against these guys, and that's what's going to happen
now.
Well,
that makes sense.
It does make sense. All right, but anyway, the guy who they interviewed, the cop, said they had plenty of evidence the first time.
The first time, right.
They might even have more. He said they also had a thing that it alerted him when people were coming down the hall, and it wasn't an alarm system in the house. It was something specifically in the hallway that went to his room, and I thought, that sick bastard, and then I thought, I got to get me one.
Well, the first kid who had brought charges against Michael Jackson, he was interviewed. That's one thing, like the kids, they will get things. If they're lying, the cops are hip enough to know, they figure it out. But he didn't make mistakes. He kept saying the same. He kept saying the same thing. The only thing he would get wrong was the dates and the times. He would get a little thrown off. But the specific things, I mean, you cannot lie. As a 12-year-old, you cannot lie, and they'll be able to figure it out.
And he got the guy's genitals right. I mean, the guy has a skin, I don't know what kind of...
He has some marks
he has
in his lower area.
Drew, what does his genitals look like? Do you have any idea?
When I examined them last week.
Salty, vinegary. What did it taste like?
Diamondback.
The point is the guy has unique genitals, and the kid, they took pictures, and the kid said, here's what they look like. Yeah, it's got.
I was also in the lineup. I'd volunteered to be in the
genital lineup. That would be nice. just a piece of plywood with an inch and a half holes in it, and it's just.
That's surprisingly an easy gig to get.
Really?
The genital lineup.
An easy gig.
Hey, let's do a Florida or German.
All right,
so let's see if we can figure this out. Mike.
Yes?
Mike?
Hello.
How are you doing? Hello?
Oh, caller who goes by Mike.
Hello.
There he is.
All right. Give us the Florida or Germany.
All right.
Or Germany or Florida.
Germany or Florida.
No.
That's Pink singing Germany or Florida.
It's so bad, it's good.
No. All right. You guys ready?
Yeah.
All right. A man in his late 30s about or early 40s breaks into elderly women's house naked, robs them, rapes them, and he lives with his sister in a motel.
Hmm. This smacks of Florida.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Smells.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they have motels in Germany.
Right, they don't. It's just they have gardens in Germany that you can go rent for the night.
Yeah, pitch a tent.
Right.
All right, Mike, we're going to go Florida.
Florida.
Yeah, it's Florida.
Yeah.
There we go.
Ding, 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 ding.
See how it works?
Yeah. I think I'm 25 for 26.
At least.
Thank you. David?
Yes.
You're 25?
Yes.
What's going on, man?
Well, I've been married to my wife for 2 years now, and we make love quite frequently. And just a couple weeks ago, I woke up one morning and I had ejaculated in my sleep.
And God!
Wow!
You know, it's not that I'm not getting enough. It's not that I'm having sexual dreams.
Well, you probably are. But you might not remember them. But B, when you're sexually active, sometimes that elicits more sexual activity. Your testosterone level can go up. In other words,
you better hope you're having a sexual dream, by the way. Because if you're dreaming about work or you're just wrestling a guy, that would be a bad sign, wouldn't it?
Not necessarily a bad sign, Adam, but it would be a sign.
Well, then, you're not really concerned about this, are you?
Well, I mean, I just... Sometimes when I get out of bed in the morning, and then my wife rolls over and she's like, "Honey, the bed's all wet." You know.
This bogus.
It's just a little embarrassing sometimes.
Bogus, David.
The wet? No, I don't buy
that. You're 25, for Christ's sake.
Well, yeah. But
please tell me this is bogus.
I wish it were.
Brain tumor or bogus? One or the other.
But
what's your question? Never heard of a wet dream?
Oh no! I've heard of a wet dream.
Well, is your wife scared? Your penis is going to go off at a funeral or at Thanksgiving?
Is your wife?
She give you grief about it?
Huh? No, we joke back and forth about it.
All right, there you go. It's
fine. You're all right.
It's fine. Relax.
I was talking.
Yeah,
you know my idea of the mattress with the hole in it for your penis.
One idea for a drain.
Hmm. Well.
I got a couple ideas.
Yeah. So the first thing I got is the seat gutter.
Yeah.
That's when your keys and cell phone and chapstick and change fall outside your car seat. It all ends up in a hopper in the trunk.
I like that.
It's a nice collector in there. Whatever you're looking for in your car, all the change, all the junk, all the nonsense, it's all in the all goes into the gutter system. But the second one was the bed gutter system, which is I sleep on my belly. I mean, look at it this way. Most adult males sleep on their belly, do they not? 60%?
I suspect that's true.
Over 50%.
At least all males, most of the time, are on their belly. You know
okay.
What I mean?
Most of the time?
Well, at least half the time.
When we go to bed at night, most males on the belly.
Okay.
Now, most males get an erection at some point throughout the course
of
the
normal,
evening.
Which is normal,
yes. Which is normal. Where does that erection go? It goes in your belly button or up your ass.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
Well, no, but it's sort of like it's like trying to sleep with a kickstand down.
But that might be where the stimulation comes from for a wet dream.
But let me say this. What if mattresses, they started making these new ergonomically correct bicycle seats that don't have a middle. There's sort of a canal down the middle. They're sort of raised on both sides.
Yes.
But the center, somebody figured out we didn't need 40 pounds of pressure on the bottom of our sack for a 10-mile ride.
So you're saying to put a hole right in there.
I am saying that, that there could either be a hole or sort of a crevasse, you know, oval shape. Something about 4 or 5 inches wide, maybe about 18 inches long. All padded and everything. No,
why not make it lubricated
sharp.
And an ash
vibrate?
This is worth I'm getting it. You know where I'm going now. There'd be many different attachments.
Okay,
for it.
Right.
I'm just saying, it'd be nice. Imagine this sensation.
Michael Jackson has one. It's just attached to a 12-year-old boy.
You sleep on your belly with a full erection, but it's not pushing your ass up into the air, rolling you over. That would be a nice sensation.
Yes.
And
Lyserta.
God forbid something happens in the course of the night.
Labor
Day. Ejaculation, or let's say you got
a rectopedic mattress.
Yeah, yeah,
yes.
Rectopedic.
Yes.
And if you got to take a leak, you got to take a leak. You know, and it ends up, it goes into a little drainage system and ends up in a hopper. Possibly hooked into the main drain.
I worked with Jerry Van Dyke one time, and he says he doesn't get up in the morning and make it all the way to the toilet. He's got a bowl right by the bed.
Oh, okay.
And I said, he said, the dog ever get into it? And he said, once.
Wow.
That was it.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
I like my rectopedic bed.
Yeah, it's very
penis.
Genius.
Now, look.
No,
yes.
I'm even imagining, you know those form-fitting matches now that sort of make a form?
Yeah.
You have it a little deeper? A little
because here's the thing. I don't think that 3 or 4 inch padded crevice in the bed would screw with you. I don't think that'd get in the way if you were just napping on your back.
I use a pillow between the legs to give like a little room.
Oh, dear. Oh.
A little room for the erection, morning erection or midnight erection.
So you sleep on your side.
Well, you know what? I also I put the pillow between the legs and sometimes, you know, the one leg up kind of thing.
Nice.
But I'm more limber than you. I do a lot of yoga.
Yeah. All right.
As does Drew.
I'm just saying the slot in the bed, not a horrible idea.
Great idea.
Just picture that bike seat.
Yeah.
All right.
Something to think about.
Yeah. Nyab?
Hi there.
Look where Nyab is from.
United Kingdom.
Yeah, it's me again.
Oh, hey, Nyab.
Hello, love. How's it going?
Not too bad, Governor.
Lovely jubbly.
Where are you?
As about 40 miles west of the city of London.
Ah.
Oh, lovely.
No, I was just
from the north of England.
That's for the north of England.
he hears us over the internet, right?
That's what he said.
That's correct.
What website do you hear us on?
Am I allowed to mention the name?
Yeah.
Certainly.
It's Mojo Radio in Canada.
Oh, sure. Okay, yeah.
Mojo Radio Canada.
You know
is that
Toronto?
One, right?
Excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's a Toronto station. Okay, what's
going
on?
That makes sense.
Okay, Dr. Drew, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I'm a married man. So instead of, you know how Adam's got this thing about finger banging?
No, wait, no,
man,
no.
What, no, what?
What is my thing about finger banging?
Well, I've heard you use that expression. It's not something that we use in this country, but if it's...
Well, I know. You guys use finger blast, right?
Oh, right. Sorry. Well,
yeah.
Righto.
Go ahead,
Nyab. Is it acceptable for a married man to indulge in eye banging?
Eye banging?
With your fingers or your penis?
No. Just eyes.
With your fingers? Like poking eyeballs
out? No, just to visually gratify myself.
Oh, I see. It's okay to look at other... The language barrier is huge with England.
I know.
American English.
So you're talking about using petrol instead of gasoline?
It's somewhat different to English.
Yeah, listen, he's doing Pakistani again.
So you want...
Is it okay to look at other women?
Yeah.
Other women, what?
Well, here's the deal with that. Your brain is wired to make you look at other women.
You just have to be smart about it.
Yeah, exactly. You cannot be obtuse. You could not be rude about it. But you can't completely stop yourself.
You know what?
I promise to be discreet.
Yeah, listen.
Being discreet is fine. I mean, even if I'm with my lovely wife, Helena, and there's No one that I find more beautiful than her. But at the same time, I will look, and if I do, and if she ever catches me looking at someone, I go, you know, she has an interesting dress, so I'm thinking something that might be nice for you.
So Rob is saying you lie if you get caught.
I prefer the word cover.
Yeah.
But realize that women don't realize how wired that is into your physiology. That is an absolutely fixed feature of your biology. And as your testosterone levels fall, you're 33 now, by the time you're about 50, there'll be less of an urge for this. But now right. It's absolutely...
And less of something you could do about it.
Yeah. And I always like it when... here's the big lie. Well, it's just sort of the go-along-with lie. When they go, you don't really like that look, do you? I mean, that you're not into that. You don't think she's hot. And there's that, like, that three count. No.
A little more outrage.
No, she's a pig.
Who would want to wear something that whorish?
Yeah.
And
I know.
Expose your ass so everybody knows exactly what it looks like.
Your D cup, we get it. Now please cover up. Yeah, it is funny when you have to pretend to be sort of outraged.
But that's okay to do that because it's a lie in the right reason.
But listen, you actually can be a little outraged. You just can't stop yourself from looking. You know what I mean? It could be someone you genuinely are not attracted to.
It's good. The lie is good if you do this.
Yeah, but as long as you're not into self-denial about it, because then you're in trouble.
Right. If you do this, it's like, here's a good lie they'll believe. They'll go, I'm not into that. I mean, I know a lot of guys are, but that ain't my thing.
Right.
That
could be the truth.
Yeah, except for it's not the truth, because you're like all the other, you're into it too.
I don't like women that work out, honey.
Yeah.
God, no.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure she's just, yeah.
Well, you know, it's the same thing. It's like you can't deny your sexuality. And I think the more that you can be open with each other, you can tell your wife what turns you on and what you find attractive. Don't shy away from that. You might be able to come to a deeper place.
But I'm fascinated, though, that in England, even in London, that this would be a question in a 33-year-old's mind.
Well,
yeah, what's your deal?
If you were 17, I'd say, okay.
But it doesn't necessarily represent all.
The deal is this, gentlemen. I was standing with my colleague, and there's a chick in our office walks by, and I covered up my colleague's eyes because I had to follow Adam's fantasy rules, which means one penis per fantasy. And mine must have the starring role.
Oh,
that's interesting. Someone really does listen to the show.
Yeah,
not listen. You know what I'm notes.
Yeah. It's nice.
I think it's okay. You can have both admire. Why can't they both look and suck at a girl's ass?
Then you would call that a threesome.
Have other New Englanders
ejaculation.
Have other British folk give us a buzz. We're interested in talking to people over there. Not just Naya, but over and over again.
Yeah.
But some of your colleagues, as you refer to them. Just put them
get
on
some of your friends to watch the show.
Yeah,
that girl's ass you're looking at. Have her call.
It's
time for a break.
Take a little break. We got a question for Rob. We got another Germany or Florida.
Huge.
I love it. I can't wait. I'm one for one, baby.
Rob Schneider here tonight. We'll take a quick break.
Not plugging anything either.
That's what I love about him. And we'll be... by the way, tomorrow night, Good Charlotte is going to be in here plugging something, and so is Blink-182 and Ron Livingston. But tonight, Rob Schneider. The decency not to plug. We'll be back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Good Charlotte in here tomorrow night. Rob Schneider in here tonight. Not plugging anything. Just eating a persimmon.
That's right, man.
Is it really a persimmon?
It's persimmon season, man. You gotta get in on my own.
Kaki or something.
Kaki. That's what Helena, my wife, is from Brazil, and she calls it kaki.
But
respect.
We know them as persimmons. Kaki is probably easier to say. And you know what I'm amazed by the way? This happens to me all the time. There's people, I guess being from Southern California, you're used to just about every fruit. I don't think there's anything I wasn't really aware of.
No.
I got a buddy from Pittsburgh, never had a plum.
Right, or an avocado.
This guy's 36 years old. He's never tasted a plum. Yeah. Never had an avocado. Don't know what a persimmon is. Yeah. It's really weird. And then you get in these weird conversations.
You
got
to take him up and show him some hookers on Santa Monica Boulevard.
You get these bizarre conversations.
That's what he was doing
people.
When he got in this conversation. What are you talking about?
It's funny, like, where you go, like, hey, what's that? And you go, that's a persimmon tree. They're real good. And they go, oh, what? Never had one. And you go, never had a persimmon. And they go, nope, never had. Really? Never, you know, you always got to drive it into the ground.
But most people are
lying.
Like that. Most people, honestly, are like that in the sense of, like, you know, when I was living in Manhattan, I go up to upstate New York and just White Plains, New York. I mean, not more than 35 minutes away. There are people in White Plains, like my friend's uncle. Ask me, do you go to Manhattan every weekend, or is it? I've never been there before.
Never been to Manhattan from White Plains?
From White Plains.
Really?
That's like a 12-minute train ride.
Yeah, isn't that insane? But it's the same thing. Like, when I was in Ireland hitchhiking around, they go, hey, I was thinking about going up to Belfast. This is like 20 years ago. I think about going up to Belfast. You ever been up there? I said, no, never been. I said, you know, you're in Galway. Yeah. How could you,
know,
not? It's a small island.
Part of the deal is the distances are perceived different. I went to college in New England, 80 miles west of Boston.
Yeah.
Was there 4 years before I went to Boston. Before
okay.
I mean,
so
it is.
I also
wonder too if certain. Well, obviously, people get set in their ways, and the dumber you are, the more routine you have,
and
the less you
and
can
the busier
vary.
You are.
But also, but your life becomes like the Autotopia Disneyland, which is you think you're steering, but it's just a wing nut and a bolt. You're just just spinning around.
Yeah.
You're just going where
you're
going.
You can steer a little bit, but it's not going to make a difference to where you're going.
Oh my God!
not really, but.
It's such a pessimistic view of life.
But it satisfies
the
you
sense.
Have the
you
feeling
believe
that
like you're
moving
going.
And
yeah,
that
right.
you have choice, and, but you're not really
yeah,
going
you know,
anywhere.
Yeah.
Also, I wonder sometimes, too, Jimmy's this way. He's never drank a Pepsi.
What?
A Pepsi has never passed his lips. And now,
that's odd.
If you give him a cup, like I went out to eat with him once, and we were like a Paquito Moss or something, and he said, give me a Coke. And they said, yeah, we'll give you a Coke. And they give him just a regular cup with a straw. He took a sip, and he spit it across the table at me. I didn't know. I thought it was like cow's blood or something there. It was Pepsi. He wouldn't let it cross his lips. We'll get into that later. But the point is he's never done it, and he's not going to start doing it.
Right.
I've never bought a lottery ticket, and I won't buy a lottery ticket now because I like saying I've never bought a lottery ticket.
Yeah.
Maybe there are people who live 20 miles from Manhattan who've never been to Manhattan. They sort of like the bizarre distinction of announcing to people they've never been.
I would say it's more fear than anything else. I just think, like, hey, you don't want to go down there, nothing but trouble down there, you know, that kind of syndrome.
I'm just I just like the part where I have to ask people for the fifth and sixth time when they haven't tried a plum. You know, no, never did. Never did. No, haven't. Really? No, haven't tried the plum.
Are you?
Wow. I can't believe. How old are you? That's what starts getting insulting. I'm 37. Why? It's done with concern, but you're really belittling the person.
Yes, right.
I just feel bad. I didn't know there was anyone over 11 who's never tried a plum. This is amazing. Have you tried prunes? Well, sure, I've tried. Well, they're in the plum family. I mean, they're dried. But persimmon, I would bet, what percentage of this country has tried a persimmon?
2.
Yeah,
2%?
Right,
I think they've had
it's
it like
10%?
No.
This is 2.
But
I think they've had it in things, but actually eating a persimmon is
Mexican rare. Americans, I'd say about 80.
Oh, yeah.
They eat it.
Well, they eat anything anything's on the ground. They're catfish. They just keep moving and eating. That's all they do.
Yeah, you have a cactus story.
I used to work with these Mexican guys installing closets out of Burbank, and these guys had, you know, one thing you get when you're poor is you pack a lunch.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
You do not have $6-$8 to drop. Yeah. At Carl's Jr. when you're poor. And so these guys would bring a stack of tortillas, and they'd bring like a container that had been microwaved, some kind of soup or compote in there that their wife had whipped up the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was poor but didn't pack a lunch, so I needed their charity. And this guy used to make me this hand stuff, and I was eating it, and we were in the truck, and I was like, this meat. What is this meat? It's kind of has a weird texture to it. And he goes, no, that's not meat. That's cactus. I said, cactus?
Yeah.
It's cactus.
Sense.
It's good. I like when they do that, where you're thinking to myself, this sucks. Like, it's good. It's good. And you're going,
it has no flavor.
Why
it has no flavors. But
if you didn't put sugar on it, it would have no flavor.
He goes, and I go, now here's where it gets a little dicey. I go, wow, I didn't even... Where do you buy cactus? I've never been to a store where they sell cactus. And he just points. He points at the polluted Burbank Hills.
Yeah.
And they like behind the airport. He's like, he just points
at
the hills. That's where we get
exactly.
it. And I'm like, oh,
my in-laws ship some stuff out because they're moving back to Rio de Janeiro. And they ship some stuff out to my wife, Helena. And like they had these Brazilians come by, Brazilian moving company. I didn't know that existed. And they came and they're delivering
starving
stuff.
Starving Brazilians.
And they're eating
students.
Off the trees in the back. And I said, they're eating. I said, what is this? Is the berry? What kind of berry? I don't know. I never ate that. I don't even know if you can eat that.
Yeah.
They were eating it off the trees. It was just like,
Oh, yeah. Listen,
I don't know what it was.
A few hours later, they'd be stripping the bark down and making tea out of it. They live off the land, these people. All right.
Wow.
Here's how you know the Mexicans will eat anything. They will eat those hot dogs wrapped in bacon that are on the modified shopping carts with the propane tanks.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
just wheeling out in front
yeah.
of the Staples Center.
Good times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's an ironclad stomach. Greg?
Hey, Greg.
Greg.
Yeah.
Come on, baby. What's going on?
Barely hear you.
Yeah, that was a question for Rob.
What's up, man?
Like, how did you get into, like, SNL and stuff?
Oh, man. Avoiding a real job for about 20 years and counting.
How old were you your first season of SNL?
God, like 23, 24.
Wow.
Something like that. Yeah.
That is young.
Yeah.
It's really, I mean, don't you feel comedically that you're much stronger or were much stronger at 33 than you were 23? Eventually you get too old and you hit some kind of ceiling and
I think
you just
so.
Become crappy.
I think so,
like
but
Ronnie
no, you know, Orson Welles said something really interesting. He says the artists are great in the beginning and at the, you know, in their 20s and in their 70s. In between, they're not interesting. And he has a point, I think, because you don't know what you're doing right or wrong in the very beginning. You're just kind of going on instinct and fear and or whatever, or
yeah,
a combination
just,
of both.
It's amazing to me when you hear about someone who's a really accomplished sketch, comedy, character, actor, performer who's 19. It's just a weird.
Yeah, what do they have
weird.
To live on? To what experience of
so
life do they have to get from? I don't know. I will say this: when I was a little kid, I was in San Francisco. I was walking down the street, and I saw this guy pushing a shopping cart, talking to himself, and I was thinking, "How did that guy get that crazy?
Right?
How did he get that crazy?" And now I know. Now I know how you get that crazy. You just get that crazy eventually. And some people have more of a ceiling to it than other people.
Right.
This guy, I'm sure, had some other issues too. Alcohol, drugs, or whatever, or some chemical imbalances. But he got that crazy. And you do. You get crazy. But I think, you know, as an artist, you kind of swing back and forth and you decide to how far you want to let yourself go. And I was always fascinated with the whole idea of you don't have to be a crazy person to be an interesting artist. You don't
right.
have to let yourself be so experimental in your own life and be, you know, haphazard or whatever you want to call it in your own life to be an interesting artist. I don't think you have to be unhappy. I was always the William Blake kind of school of, hey, you can be happy and be doing this, you know?
Yeah. You know, yeah, you don't have to wear weird frames. You don't have to be a prick. You don't have to be
yeah,
tormented.
You don't have to be tormented.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to be a heroin addict to be interesting, you know?
No, I agree. And it bothers me that people think that you can't be creative
and
be
way,
normal.
It seems to me we've just recently gone through a period of history where that is more the case that people who are real serious problems are the more interesting ones to us. I mean, there's always been a quality that, I mean, Dylan Thomas was a severe alcoholic and stuff. But in general, I think we've just gone through a period of history where we were preoccupied with people who were very, very disturbed. Almost like, I think it's almost like a P.T. Barnum thing. We're sort of done with the physical bizarre stuff. Now we're on to the emotional and mental bizarre
stuff.
But
that's interesting because I've never wanted to be a part of any of these testings that ask you questions about comedians and artists. And I never wanted to be part of that. But I think, you know, to not get into it too deeply, but the fact is to allow yourself to emotionally get to a really risky place where you can look like an idiot and to be completely, and to be okay with it, that comes at a price. And
right.
I think to be able to risk that and then to deal with the failure and the success of that, to not let it completely throw your life off, mm-hmm. is the thing. Because the way I said, the most people susceptible to the pitfalls of show business are the ones most attracted to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say follow your bliss. If you love being an artist, being an actor, being a writer, then just go for it and don't worry about what you can make of it or how do you make it. You just follow it and do it and you'll find your way. And I didn't know anybody. I grew up in this little beach town in Pacifica, California, below San Francisco. I didn't know anybody. I just wrote jokes and found a club where I could perform it and have been, you know, plugging away for 20-odd years since.
I was thinking of something that Rob said about the crazy guy and how do you get that crazy, and it's you get a little crazier every day, I imagine. But and this happens to everybody. This is, how do you get that fat? Well, you gain 2 ounces a day for 14 years, and that's how you get that fat. Now, the guy who hasn't seen you since high school sees you and says, "Holy Christ!" But
you
see yourself
sense.
Every day. Yeah,
yeah.
I was just talking to a friend of mine. I just said, "What'd you do this weekend?" He said, "I knocked out a whole bunch of cactus. It was like overgrowing my house." I said, "Well, how'd it get so far gone?" He said, "Well, you see it every day when you're going to work, and it moves a millimeter a day, so you don't notice it." until it overtakes you. But the successful people in life do notice when they put on 10 pounds as opposed to 250 pounds.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, there'd be Drew, maybe you can work on this. There should be drugs or something where you could objectively be reintroduced to yourself. Like once every 6 months.
It's
you know
very
what I mean?
Tough.
They could take,
very
you could
few
take
people.
A look at yourself.
That's why you like yoga and meditation and stuff like that. Any form of meditation, even just quieting your mind for a few minutes, whatever, is a time to kind of reflect. And most people don't want to listen to that little voice in their head.
Right,
I'm not
right.
talking about the big voice that tells them to like do stupid,
yes,
crazy stuff.
That's the instinct voice.
Right.
It's a little one.
The little voice,
yes,
and to say, you know, deal with these issues.
Yes.
Most people who are, whatever problems they have, for me, it comes down to one thing, avoiding something, avoiding pain. Mm. And if you avoid the little pain, you're going to end up with the big pain. And most people don't want to deal with those little pains.
The big voice is about arousal and attraction.
Yeah.
And the little voice is about instinct and doing what you need to do to improve, get better.
And if you don't
better.
Listen to that, it just gets worse.
I know.
And we're
right.
in a culture and in a society
arousal.
That wants
arousal.
That big voice.
Right.
And that
it
wants to avoid, and avoid, and then you get in trouble.
Sounds like in my head, big voice, beat off. Little voice, beat off. So I'm caught, you know, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
You see
beat
what I'm
off,
saying?
I guess.
Medium sized voice, beat off.
You got a compromise there between the two.
Yeah, I just, that's what I do. Keep everyone happy. Do it twice.
Chris.
Yes.
Let's see, you and your wife are virgins. You and your wife are virgins?
We were virgins.
You were virgins.
Okay.
Yeah.
How old were you when you got married?
We just got married about 6 months ago.
Uh-oh.
All right. And
how old are you?
I'm 23. I'm 23 and she's 22. Okay.
Trying to have sex, but it hurts too much.
Yes.
For who?
For her.
Okay.
All right. Hold on a second. She's calling from Huntington Beach. And by the way, I didn't know they allowed virgins in beach cities.
Yeah.
I thought they had to be kept away from the shoreline.
I think it's sometimes they move in. They can't grow up there.
I see.
What kind of virgin did you, was, you know?
Well, not virgins to actual sexual intercourse.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Technical virgins.
Hand jobs and blowjobs she was fine with.
Anal sex, okay.
Did you grow up in Huntington Beach?
No, actually. I
of course
grew up
not.
In Marina Valley.
Yeah, see.
Yeah, okay. You moved from the valley.
Right.
Okay.
That's the point.
So, they're not allowed to grow up there.
So what's to say right now it's painful for her?
Although my wife did grow up in Huntington Beach.
Well, do you have... Okay.
Sexual abuse then.
All right. Hold on a second.
Okay, well...
Oh, wait a minute. Well, we got to take a break.
Interesting.
Maybe there is sexual abuse.
Is there any sexual abuse?
No.
All right. Huntington Beach.
Do you have a gigantic penis?
I haven't really compared too much.
All right, hold on a second.
Well, that would mean no, then.
Yes, that would mean no.
We'll talk to Chris in a second. He's been married for 6 months. He's 23 years old. He, his wife
they,
and
they
he
were both
virgins. Now there's pain, and it's on her side. He's from some valley other than a beach city, and we'll take a quick break. Rob Schneider's in studio tonight. We'll finish up with Chris right after this. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Good Charlotte in here tomorrow night. And then we got Blink 182 and Ron Livingston will be in here on Wednesday.
It's Rob, a good week, man.
Yeah. Kicked off with Rob Schneider, who's here to hang. God bless.
That's right, man. I see you.
Got nothing to plug. But when you do have something to plug, and I guess you'll be doing Deuce Bigelow too, right?
Yeah, if we can ever figure out exactly what the hell the story is. That's
when,
tough, man.
When you do that, then you come in and plug that, but you can stop by anytime
well,
you
thanks.
Like.
Well, thanks. No, honestly, Helena and I were laughing so hard listening to the show. You were talking about Vegas and the same things why we hate Vegas is the sleeveless, you know, shirts.
Yeah,
and the
short pants.
There's no reason you should be wearing without sleeves.
Here's all I'm saying. If there's a dress
the shorts,
code,
yeah.
If you have a dress code for clubs, and there's a lot of clubs where you can't go in jeans, you can't go in tank tops, you can't go in, you know, in shorts.
Yeah.
Why not a little dress code for the airplane? I mean, at least the club, if you got some smelly guys wearing cut-off sweats and Zoris, you just go the other side of the club. You
but
don't have to sit at the table
worse
with
now.
It.
You know, you got people taking buckets of chicken on the planes now. It's just it's disgusting. My wife and I are actually one of those people now. We actually made sandwiches on the plane coming back from Brazil. Just, you know, but the food just stinks, and they're so cheap now on the airlines.
I know.
They didn't even pass around the food. They give you the basket, and you got to pass it back. It's ridiculous.
You know, it's funny, too. On Southwest, the flight to Vegas is so short that you oftentimes don't get your drink before you land because we got to keep the seat belts on and everything until we get to 30,000 feet. Then the belt signs off for 10 seconds. Now the belt's got to go back on for the landing.
Yeah.
I never did get what I was going for. Still more satisfying than them not asking you and you not getting it for some bizarre
reason.
And
you still managed to give them serious about the peanuts, I'm sure.
No, they gave out peanuts this time.
Oh, God.
Yes. They did.
Yeah, once in a while,
to get those snacks.
Some puss calls up and says, my kid's on the plane. He's allergic to peanuts. I don't want anyone with peanuts on the plane. My thing is then drive your goddamn kid to Los Angeles because I love peanuts. But they shut the peanuts down every once in a while. Drew, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, all peanuts.
Right.
Chris is a virgin.
Mm.
So is his wife.
Oh, yeah.
And she's in pain.
Oh, that's
now, do you spend some time with her and foreplay also?
Yes.
Chris? You do. You definitely. How much foreplay?
Usually, we'll have about 15 minutes or so of foreplay, 30 minutes of foreplay.
Well, 15-30 minutes.
Yeah,
it's all good. And is the problem with the pain at the point of penetration?
Yes, it's actually when there's penetration. You know, we use plenty of lubrication.
Ow!
Sorry.
KY, KY, and all that kind of stuff.
You do.
Yes.
She's a young girl, though. She shouldn't need to use that.
Yeah. Well, it's. You know, it's just more for trying to ease the pain as we're going in right now. But we've been trying it for 6 months. And
6 months?
Yeah, it's gone down, but it's still to a point that it kind of hurts her, and it's still not something.
Have you tried getting her really drunk?
Huh?
Have you tried getting her really drunk? I'm just kidding.
It couldn't hurt.
What is the gynecologist?
A couple of drinks.
She's had a pelvic exam, I assume?
Yes, she's had a pelvic exam.
What did the gynecologist say?
Nothing in particular. The gynecologist that she said should say that she said that it would probably be pretty painful in the beginning, but that, you know, she should stretch out after a while.
Does it make you feel kind of good, like you're,
yeah,
Tarzan
it's
in bed?
It's nice.
You know, honestly, doesn't it make you feel a little good?
Well, no.
Ow, oh, honey, ow. Oh, you're too big. Oh, it hurts. Well, it does make you feel a little good, right?
It's no, not really.
It's better than are you in?
I don't like hurting
isn't
my
it?
Wife. You know,
well, you're a nice guy, but you do tell your friends and you brag about that a little bit, right?
Yeah. Chris,
a little bit. Tell me the truth. Haven't you bragged a little bit?
No, I do not brag. No.
Did they
no, but have you mentioned it?
I have mentioned it to friends.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you rip. I rip her in half. I can't help it.
Chris, did the gynecologist mention something called vaginismus?
No.
Yeah, might want to look that up on
the
internet.
It's a black holiday.
It's a spasm of
it's a place in Mexico.
The pelvic floor.
If you go in Puerto Vallarta, you make a hang a left.
Yeah, if you go to the Straits of Vigmas, it's right.
It's on the Yucatan Peninsula.
Yeah, nice hotel on the beach there.
But be that as
Hagar has a pad out there. The party never stops.
Like it's a spasm of the muscles, and it's something that can be part of a reflex. It can be part of an anxiety problem. It is something residual occasionally
okay, can
from
I
sexual
tell you,
abuse.
I think that there's something emotional, and I think there's something...
Yes.
I think you can do something besides just foreplay, because she's obviously for 6 months, it's got to be in her head. So I think you can actually try doing something like maybe yoga or something to loosen her up. Physically all over her body and not just in one area.
And that's a good point.
And some, though, if Rob's point is well taken, but sometimes it's a spinal reflex that sets this up. There are some specific treatements for that, so look into it.
All
let's
right.
do a Germany or Florida. A couple
all
of
right, Germany or Florida.
Germany or Florida, you let's, make the call. You make the call.
Alcoa presents Germany or Florida. Zach?
No.
Germany or Florida.
It's Pink with Drew banging on the piano.
And Adam,
hey, Zach.
Of religion, and you're going to be the god.
All righty.
That is scary.
Thank
and
you.
Drew, you do a great job, too. All right.
Yeah, no,
Germany
no.
or Florida? Two women in their 60s disarm an intruder with a ham sandwich and a bottle of rum.
Mm.
Well, we heard about this one.
Oh, did we hear this one?
Yeah. I'm going to go with Germany.
Well, I can tell you there was some more of the story, if you
go
want.
Ahead. Go ahead.
All right,
Yeah.
The 260-year-old lady said they tried to befriend the man after he burst through their kitchen window with a sawed-off shotgun one night.
It sounds like Florida now.
He made a sandwich and gave him a bottle of rum and suggested he take a shower and shave so he could
be got drunk and fell asleep or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was in Germany, wasn't it?
I can't remember. But I remember the story.
We had this one already.
Did
I think it was Germany. Germany?
Florida.
Germany.
Oh, Florida.
Well, the sawed-off shotgun.
Sawed-off shotgun. It screwed us up because we have heard this one
before. If it was a
before.
Luger.
Yeah.
Well, I would say Germany.
Right.
Well, you know, I like that. I think the ladies, any sexual favors at all?
No.
Oh, we got rid of him. Screw him. Jenny. You want to go five? Okay, let's do a good Germany or Florida. Jenny.
Yes, hello?
Germany or Florida.
Hi, okay. So, a 65-year-old woman enters a bank, and when she announced she wanted to rob the bank, the tellers didn't believe her, but she fired four shots into the ceiling, and she ended up making away with, like, $15,000, so she goes running down the street, except about a block after she starts running down the street, the police caught up with her because she was too slow, because she is 65.
Oh, this is a tough one because it really doesn't...
Reeks of Florida.
It reeks of Florida, junkie 65-year-old.
But here's the whole thing about... The whole thing, it's unfair because whenever I hear booze, drugs, robbery, sawed off, I just go to Florida immediately. Yeah. But then you think there's banks in Germany and surely people rob them on occasion. What do you want to go, Florida here?
Yeah. Well,
this one I'm going to say Germany, and here's why. Because in Florida, she'd have her car close by.
Interesting. All right, let's go Germany.
So all of you are for Germany?
No, I'm for Florida.
Drew's going Florida.
Drew's
Robin
Florida.
And
okay.
I are going Germany.
Well, it was actually in Germany.
Oh, yeah. Rob Schneiderman.
How are you?
That's why he gets the big bucks. All right. Thanks, Jenny.
Good one.
Yep, thanks. Bye, guys.
All right, Drew Buck in the system, and look where it gets him.
We got to take a break.
All right.
Take a break already?
Yeah, let's see.
I got to say, these calls have been a lot safer.
Yeah.
Let's get some harsh ones.
We'll get some sick ones.
There was a lot of sick ones when last time I was here.
They're
brothers
coming.
And sisters.
Yeah, yeah.
It was
farm animals.
Yeah.
It's all coming.
That's lovely.
Rob Schneider's here. We'll take a quick break. We'll
bring
be
on
right
the sickos.
Back. It's Loveline, man. That's Dr. Drew. Rob Schneider's in studio tonight. Very enlightened Rob Schneider. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I was watching maybe the same Dateline you were on last night, Drew, or other night. Or maybe it was another one of those news magazine shows. Anyway, they had an interview with the 13-year-old Hawaiian chick who got her arm bit off.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Who's.
Did you see the size of the shark that got her?
Well,
they showed the picture of the shark.
They assume
they got
the,
it.
Shark.
Huge.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense, though.
Oh.
How's she doing?
She seems
nonplussed.
Eerily unfazed by the whole thing.
Wow.
Like, there's
she went through some orthodontistry or something.
Not even.
Yeah, really?
Not even. Yeah, yeah. Not even. And part of me thinks, wow, this is the healthiest 13-year-old in the world. And the other part thinks, something's up because she ain't.
I just think maybe just she got some, you know, that this was like a negative thing that just made her extremely, extremely popular. Maybe she's just on that buzz right now.
Maybe.
I don't
seems
know.
A little more neutral than that, though.
You think so?
That's how I
do know that some people have a sort of, you know, the guy said, the guy was out surfing with her. And by the way, this is a disaster. You know, she was out there surfing with some family friends, the adult. You know, it's like when the kids come over to play and one kid skins his knee and then the parents come to pick up and it's like,
listen, good news is
Elaine. Carl took a little spill by the pool. He's fine. Yeah. Just we put a little back thing. Listen, got an arm missing.
She's fine.
Good news and bad news. Good swell.
Got a couple great tube rides.
Real glassy.
And lunch is fine. It's all set to go.
Bad news. Daughter's missing the arm. But anyway, so some crazy stuff. First off, it's always funny when they just gloss over things in news stories. Like they go, she did get some comfort from her cousin who
lost
a leg earlier in a surfing when it was bit off by a shark earlier. And, you know, there's no news. You know, the guy's doing the story doesn't go like, holy mother of goddamn pearl. I mean, the cousin and the both of you have lost a limb and the
shark.
Who's next? And show me the cousin or brother or sister in that family's ballsy enough to head into the water again after this. Your family has a pattern of losing limbs to wildlife. I wouldn't get in a goddamn tub.
But
if
you
I
know
were.
What? The whole thing is, I mean, I surf, and I grew up surfing. I don't surf all the time. But you just...
you just hope for the best, and the chances are it's never going to happen.
You don't surf in areas where there are sharks.
I surf up in Northern California, and that's where the majority of the deaths have been attributed in the last 20 years.
Great whites.
Yeah, that's up in the San Francisco Bay Area.
More great whites there than Australia, or so they say.
By Santa Cruz, we've had more deaths in Santa Cruz. Not, when I say more deaths, it's three.
Three.
Yeah, three in 20 years.
But, you know, if you see seals, like the girl who was, like, swimming with seals in Santa Barbara. You don't swim with the food.
Yeah.
Then you're the slow food.
And the only thing in that conversation between the girl and her cousin there, hey, I didn't feel a thing. My arm came off. How about your leg?
Well,
I didn't feel a damn thing.
I keep saying, which is, why is it, Drew, bull shark takes an arm off.
At the shoulder.
At the shoulder, less pain than me kicking my box spring mattress with my barefoot toe coming back from the bathroom.
Yes.
That is excruciating.
Yeah.
The arm coming off feels a little tough.
All right with it,
I'm out of commission because I kicked
it. I don't understand. That just like it just comes off like it's a like it's a frog or something. I don't understand. Or a lizard. A lizard tail.
700,000 pounds of pressure per square inch just coming down on something.
Is that what that is? Yeah. I'm confused.
Sharks' mouths. They're made for biting them animals.
Yeah.
Think about that really in terms of God. It's a mouth with a propulsion system. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A shark. There's no arms. It doesn't do anything. There's nothing. Yeah. It's a big mouth.
It's a limb removal system.
With a tail.
With a tail and a fin on top so it doesn't roll to one side or the other. So a couple of fins to stabilize it. It's essentially like a water rocket with a mouth on it.
That's right.
That's what it is. Just a big swimming mouth.
Yeah.
The mouth opens up bigger than the circumference of the goddamn shark. Yeah. It's amazing.
I'm not as amazed as people who surf and surf knowing that there's sharks as the people who swim where they know there's
seals,
alligators.
Oh yeah,
that's
there's no waves to catch there. You just go to the pool.
At least the shark mistakes you for something, or so we say.
And that's what
people,
we hope.
People always do that too, where they go, well, you know, the shark, this guy, the expert, was saying the shark must have mistook her for a sea turtle, which is one of its favorite foods. Yeah. And I thought to myself, isn't the shell, you know, the trash can size shell on the sea turtle a little bit of a deal breaker for the shark?
They bite the limbs off.
They bite the flaps off.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the one they showed was missing one of its things.
That's what I'm talking about.
They don't go after the body.
No.
They don't crack it open. They go after the
limb. I imagine.
But here's the thing. I like, first off, that they figure out what the shark's favorite food is.
Right, yeah.
And persimmon may be up there. We don't know. And then number two, when they go, it was a mistake. The shark, like, we're supposed to feel better now. Oh, he thought he was eating a turtle. Well, I would rather him know the difference. Say, like,
I think they say that in the sense that, because a lot of times they spit it out, whereas they would not spit out the actual food.
I just mean the fact that it's a random thing that the shark thinks I'm a seal is of no consolation when I got a shark-sized bite out of my abdomen. I would rather the shark have a personal vendetta against this this girl.
Yeah, I get
that. Do you see what I'm saying? Because then, hey, it's Ace. It's Adam. Hey, we're cool. We got no problems here, right? I got no quarrel with you. All right, so anyway, the guy, her and her cousin both got a limb
But Hawaii, I wouldn't think there's a lot of sharks. I guess she was surfing in Kauai, right?
I don't know. She wasn't on one of the big islands. But
she was where they'd seen a shark many times.
Yeah, and then they went out and got it. And by the way, I like when they just go out and get it.
Yeah.
Like, the shark's swimming dangerously close to surfers for the last 6 months.
They get it, huh?
It bites the arm off. Ah, I'll go out and get it now. They just go out and get it.
Yeah.
They do it too. Anyone who's seen Jaws is horribly disappointed when they just put a. They don't take a rope and put a rump roast and a grappling hook on it. They just go out and fish it, and the shark gets tired. They just drag it in with a boat that's smaller than the shark. It's no big problem. And they just hang it up and they take pictures.
That is disappointing.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk to Pauline, who's 17. Pauline?
Hi.
What's up?
I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I recall him saying that, like, most, if not all, fetishes come from some kind of trauma.
Yeah.
And my boyfriend has a foot fetish.
Oh.
And he was...
Now, that may be the exception.
It may be that it's a small-t trauma.
In other words, it doesn't have to be the real feeling of helplessness and the fear of not being able to go on being, the fear of destruction at the hands of people you're reliant upon, like being hit with something that your dad picks up. Okay. But the foot fetish thing is rather common.
He might be attracted to feet.
Well, and it has, no one really knows for sure. There's lots of little theories about it, but it clearly has something to do with overwhelming feelings in relation to mom, and it's a way of focusing those feelings away from something that's more overwhelming.
Yeah, his mother ignored him.
Yeah, and so it's a longing feeling sometimes for guys, and the
I wish I was into feet. It'd be nice. Yeah, I just look at them as stands for the boobs. I don't get any further than that.
There's some ugly feet out there. Cute feet, I don't mind getting into. I used to sell ladies' shoes.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and I massage my wife's feet.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
So you're a guy who you wouldn't say you have a fetish, but you appreciate.
I appreciate a nice-looking foot.
You know what's interesting?
I like that.
Napoleon's sister was named Pauline, and she had a famous foot.
Really?
Yeah, was famous.
One foot was famous?
2 feet. Reporters would gather every day to watch her wash her feet.
Really?
She had a good-looking foot. I've heard that, too.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that weird? That is a coincidence.
They didn't have a lot going on back then.
Wow. They're
not related to Napoleon. I know, but there's,
they didn't have TiVo.
Yeah. But they had the terror, you know. They killed a few. They had the guillotine and all. It's good.
Sure.
It's good times back then. But listen, Pauline, it doesn't necessarily mean anything, but if guys get carried away with their fetishes, it tends to take things away from the intimacy.
So is it a problem for you?
Oh, no, it's no problem. It's just it was a problem for him to admit it, and he sounded like he was traumatized.
What does he do? What does he do?
Yeah.
I thought he was raped the first time he was trying
But what does he do? What does he do with your feet?
He tickles them, or he licks them, or he ties me up, and he just plays with them for half an hour.
Two things. Two things.
Whoa. Over something there.
Two things. Fetishes, true fetishes, always guys, or it's mostly guys that have fetishes, are ashamed and sort of embarrassed about them. And two, I think you've opened a box here, Pandora's box, that more is to be revealed. It will not just stop with the feet.
I think you're right. I think he's tying you up is just...
It's getting going.
I would concentrate on the tying you up. Is that your idea or his idea?
His idea.
Okay.
Don't get too... Don't keep going with that. Just contain it a little bit.
Okay. Just don't let him tie me up.
You play safe.
Yeah, just don't... Whatever's coming next, just stop it right here.
Okay. Yeah, he may spin
he's
out
gonna
with
spin
this.
Out, yeah.
Something How old is he?
He's gonna be
18.
We're both gonna be
18.
Okay.
I worry too, and I wonder.
Any 18-year-old who just isn't happy just banging you, it's just he. I mean, to have to tie you up, it's a little. I would say it's a little more advanced than a normal 18-year-old who just be happy getting in your pants, if you don't mind me saying.
Rob Schneider.
Yeah. No. But I wonder. See, I wonder if we're going by. We're all relatively the same age, and we didn't have access to
weird stuff.
Never thought about
weird
that.
Stuff.
Well, if I was 18 years old and I was lucky enough to be having sex with somebody, that was it. That's all I needed. I didn't need anything more than that.
Right, but
that
was, there wasn't even porn in those days.
But what if you'd been watching hardcore stuff on the internet since you were 13, and now you're 18? Do you know what I'm saying?
What would it have done to your wiring?
Maybe the bar's been raised a little bit,
but I'm still just being just as happy, you know, than any attention to that area.
I assume I would feel the same way, but if you had a couple friends that had a threesome, for instance?
By the time they were 18.
And you'd seen everything there is to see by the age of 13 or 14 on the internet, now you're 18. You're probably feeling, I mean, here's the way I look at it. When you turn on the TV, you watch these McDonald's high school all-star games.
These guys
are jamming now. You've got 16-year-olds taking off from the free throw line and doing monster jams.
Kind of
stuff that you never saw. I mean, back in the day, guys wearing PF Flyers, they got shiny shorts with belts on them. One guy's foot got a half inch off the ground when he did a shot once, and everyone went crazy. Now guys are just launching themselves from half court and jamming the ball. You wonder... These are the same people who need the threesome. I mean, they're not where we were at when we were that age.
I would say, though, for me, for somebody to be that into porn like you're saying, I would say still there's another issue. Just like there's another issue probably here.
Yes.
To get that much into porn at 13 to 18, there's something else going on in their life that's driving them to that.
Yes.
Yep.
What that is, I don't know.
Well,
Adam refuses to accept that, by the way.
No. I would say, though, I would argue that it would be once the hormones kick on for a guy, if you have access, it's almost like candy for kids almost. You
right,
have almost
yeah.
an unlimited capacity to take this in. I mean, Drew, if when you were 14, 15 years old, there was a magic box.
I would say that you're right,
up,
but I would still say that's the exception. And the majority of people, there's something else pushing them to do that.
I think Rob has got a point.
Yeah.
He does. That if you need to be hypersexual.
It's a horrible point, but it's still Rob's point.
But the level of deficiency that might drive someone to that kind of pornographic preoccupation may be pretty common.
Well, here's the other thing, too. It's like it's the argument of, well, this guy's watching Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
He's playing Grand Theft Auto, and then, so he goes out and kills.
Yeah. Right.
Most 14-year-old boys will play Grand Theft Auto for 5 hours a day and not have any compulsion to go out and carjack somebody.
I mean, we didn't have porn on the internet when I was a kid. We had a big box of Penthouse and Playboys that my dad had that found.
Oh,
you found.
Where were they?
Yeah, they were just in a box underneath the stairs.
Did they smell weird?
No, they didn't. They were just, but there was a real large collection, very interesting.
People
forget the shaved bush area.
People forget that porn
had an effect on me.
Back, porn used to smell like something. Like you'd find a box, it was sort of dank.
Mildew.
Dank meets the crank. It was like a little mildew. Like because people used to have to stash it in places that weren't exactly
under
the stairs.
What the humidor is to the cigar.
But we didn't have as much of that. When San Francisco, Northern California, they didn't have that heat. It was cool, so the magazines were stayed on.
But the lack of grooming affected Rob. Traumatized.
Yes.
Him.
Yeah. It did.
Yes, I need to have the gigantic pubic bush, as I call it, or the extra pad.
It is true that you're just sort of into whatever you were into, and it's earlier, too.
Sure.
I'm now thinking about it. It does set the tone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's just we'll go back to calls in one second, but let's try to figure this out for one second. Let's just get to the bottom here, which is...
Oh, my God.
Okay, you would assume that you would be into the women that you were looking at when you were, let's say... I opened a Playboy at 14 years old, let's just say.
And something lasers
and
into your
somehow,
head.
Somehow, something lasers into my head. Yeah. And that...
Maybe, but I think it's more more than just a visual thing for the guy. I think it's also the experience.
Sure. Whatever it is, something gets locked in that time in 1978 or whatever it is.
It's a repetitive pattern that guys can get into in that way.
Yes,
but
and guys work visually.
Let me say this. I was looking at a Herb Alpert record cover today. and it was a super hot 60s chick, like late 60s, 68, 69, you know, when they all had that sort of big hair and too much eye. Yeah, but they were hot. Yeah. They were sort of dark and big cans and stuff. That's my girl. And
girls who didn't work out, just were shapely.
Yeah, shapely. And I realize it's not when I was 14 that I'm into. I'll go back to when I was 5.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's the time you get locked in.
Absolutely.
But at five, it wasn't sexual. It was just purely visual stimulation.
Right. You get toned at 14. That's when it gets focused.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
To me, it's with access.
But are you guys, here's what I want to know.
No one has access usually
at
14.
Are you into... The five, if you break it down, I like the five. I'm into what I was into at 5, visually.
Yeah, yeah.
Not 10 years later.
No, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. And that's why, by the way, that when I see the bleached pubes and the fake boobs and the dragon tats all over the back and stuff and the genital piercings, it's not for me.
It's an oddity.
I got to go back.
Yeah, it's an oddity that maybe attractive, but not in a way that you are attractive sexually.
Yeah, it doesn't speak to the 5-year-old ace.
Right.
Monica?
The way the child at the breast does.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
You're 14. What's up?
Oh, I had a question for Rob.
Okay.
What's up? What can I help you with?
Are you going to come out with any new movies?
The next movie's with Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore. Believe it or not, I'm working with Adam Sandler again.
Wow.
And 51st Dates, February 13th.
Is that what you went to Hawaii for?
Yeah. Oh. And that was, I play a fat Hawaiian. It was a lot of fun.
Is he, he's teaming, and let's see, he did the Wedding Singer with Drew Barrymore. Did he do another movie with Drew Barrymore?
No, this is the one, yeah.
And
this is his best film. It's really,
did
really
good. Did you
have
to learn any Hawaiian?
Really?
Hawaii was like my summer place. My parents would take me to Hawaii and then let me go.
Oh, my God.
And I'd be able to do whatever I want. 13, 14, 15.
Oh, my God.
And then, so I was hanging out with Hawaiians, mugged by Hawaiians, surfing with Hawaiians, I was out surfing in the water. And I didn't know how to surf, and I had like this 12-foot board, and I literally would like jettison the board in the direction when I'd fall off.
Right.
It was like a missile. And it was Hawaiian guy picking me up.
don't be, you know, you can, you take off my head with that, brother. What are you doing there? You know what I mean? And he this guy lifted me out of the water, and I just, you know. But so that was kind of my childhood. So I wanted to make sure and be respectful to the Hawaiians when I went back out.
Yeah, the Hawaiians are sort of, I look at this as the sort of Hawaiians like this country's sort of petting zoo, like some sort of indigenous animal that lives over there that is sort of part human, but also part manatee.
But let me tell you, the real Hawaiians are the ones that look Mexican. Actually, the real, real Hawaiians, they look Mexican.
With huge calves.
Yeah.
I tell you, I got a book. Drew, you know my book? My book idea, my children's book idea?
No.
All right. It's called Chemo Skinny Calves. It's about a Hawaiian guy, Hawaiian kid.
This is like the ugly duckling story.
Yeah, skinny calf.
When he's boy, as a kid.
Skinny calf.
Yeah.
Everyone else in his village are these huge Samoan guys.
They make fun of him.
Massive calves. But he has very skinny calves. Well, and he's made fun of. He's ridiculed by the townspeople and by the village people.
Until he gets a red nose?
Spanish. Yeah, it's
this
weird.
It's a 17th century thing. You know, in the 17th century, it was all about the calves. Every now and then, muscular chest. Back in the 17th century, it was all about the calves.
Oh, really?
That's why they had those socks and the knee pants that went to the knee and tight. And the people were showing off their calves. If you look at the old photographs, the old paintings you see 16th
century. Yeah, you know what's funny, too, is the guys would wear heels, which makes the calf sort of nice, better shape, too.
It was all about the calves back then.
What the hell's going on in this society?
But what happens to Chemo? I want to know what happens.
Well, here's what happens. Chemo's
one rainy day.
He's run out of town.
Foggy day.
Because he has these skinny calves. They want to let him play the sports and the whole thing. And he's banished. And then one day, the keys to the city fall through a sewer grate. And nobody's arms are long enough to reach down and get them. But Chemo Skinny Calves' leg is skinny enough to get down and grab it with his toes.
Genius.
And save the city.
They basically just made a movie about that. It's called Whale Rider.
I heard that some guys get calf implants.
Yes.
I can't imagine that. What the thinking is behind that.
Well, you probably have
maybe in West Hollywood
you have
nice
looking calves.
No, he doesn't.
You'd be surprised in the right.
They're all right.
I just can't wait till anthropologists dig up the 20th century, 21st century man and go, these sacks were buried with them. The women had them on their chests. The men had them on their, sometimes on their chests and their calves. Some burial ritual, obviously. Never would they imagine they were put in during life.
I see the calf implants. I'd go for that.
Good times.
I could see myself doing that. If you have skinny, here's the thing about calves. It's unfair. All the running, all the weightlifting, all the whatever in the world.
Schwarzenegger supposedly worked out his calves somehow.
Yeah, it's called steroids.
Yeah.
He injects them straight into his calves. True.
Maybe.
All right. Yeah. Here's the thing. You can do things to help. Sort of like having a double chin or something.
But
you're never going to look as good as a guy who's got a nice set, right?
Right.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Rob Schneider's here tonight. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Rob Schneider's our guest tonight. Oh, just knowing that Thanksgiving is coming up makes me happy. It really does.
Except I'm at the end of my fat pants right now.
Yeah,
oh, really?
Can't get any bigger.
I started.
This is it.
You know, it was funny. I woke up this morning. I said, "This I'll diet until Thanksgiving so I can really cut loose."
Nah.
Then it lasted till about noon, and then then I had the special over at the Good Neighbor.
No, unless I'm working on something. I just have no. I just don't have the discipline. I got to get it. You know, if you're going movie to movie, that's fine. But like right now, I just haven't been working a lot this year.
You doing TV or anything?
Depressing. No, I'm writing a couple things and writing, just eating and getting fat. Huh?
TV? No.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to be on too. You know, you get too familiar, people hate you. You know what that's like, right, Adam?
Yeah.
They hated you before you got familiar.
No. I can't tell. I don't know if I'm being punished or I'm having more career than I should. I can't
it's
figure
both.
It out.
It's
Is
both.
It both?
Yeah.
And by the
just
way,
just write it out and enjoy
speaking
it.
Speaking of career, if David Alan Greer is listening, or anyone who knows David Alan Greer is listening, tell him I got his glasses.
Oh, is he with
you? He left his glasses in Vegas.
When's he coming on this show?
He says he's too good for the show.
I know that.
He's a sweetheart of a guy.
Nice
guy.
He is. He's a weirdo, but he's a great guy.
Kind of has to be, though. Doesn't he have to be a nice guy?
I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
No.
Yeah. He's his
just because of McHale's Navy?
His Crankyanker stuff was amazing.
Really?
Yeah. He's amazing. David Alan. Here's the thing about David Alan Greer. You who know David Alan Grier from McHale's Navy and other movies and from TV.
Nobody knows him from McHale's Navy.
All right. But here's the thing. You don't know the real depths of his talent, yeah. Which is he did a whole bunch of phone calls as Landanlius, Trufeld, the truth. He's a washed-up black athlete who thinks everyone should know who he is and bursts into raps and is really exquisitely talented. But, you know, if you watch Life with Bonnie, you don't see that. You see the ABC sort of corporate version of the
That's
guy.
It's nice to know he's a closet twisted genius.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
glad to know that.
He is, yeah. I'm more effed up than you'd know, too.
You gotta be. Yeah. Got a little bit. But that is
let it loose on this show once after that breakup
with
his girlfriend.
He did go a little nutty on this show.
But there's not a lot of platforms for people to really, you know, to really express that. Unless, he's the star of his own show, then he's going to maybe...
Even then, the kind of stuff that he's doing wouldn't work on network or even basic cable. Oh,
really?
Not the stuff he's
doing
yesterday.
Oh, really? Some sick stuff.
Very sick.
Yeah.
Very demented
Don't
stuff.
Don't look at me stuff.
But we had... I have your glasses, David, so send your assistant by. Amber?
Yes?
You're 21?
Yes, I am.
I like it so far. Go ahead.
Okay, my question is 9 months ago I had a baby. And
perfect.
It was perfect. But I have had absolutely no desire to have sex at all.
Are you married?
I have a boyfriend for the past 9 years.
Nine years? Since you were 12?
Yeah.
How old is
he?
He's 24.
39. 24.
Oof.
All right, well, here's the deal. It is very, very common for there to be a marked drop in your sex drive in the first up to a year after pregnancy, after delivery.
Okay.
One of the things you have to watch for is depression, a postpartum depression that can be part of the drop in libido.
Ask her, is she on any antidepressants?
No.
And you're not feeling depressed?
No, not particularly.
Are you breastfeeding?
No, I stopped at 4 months.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Have you, how much weight did you gain while you were pregnant?
I gained 65 pounds.
And how much did you lose?
I lost 50.
Oh, so you're pretty much back to normal.
Yeah, 15 pounds.
You feel okay about yourself?
So it's not a self-esteem
like a
thing?
Raisin, yes.
Like a raisin.
Do you feel attractive?
No.
There you go.
Is that part of it?
I think so. I don't know, but...
When I have sex,
it doesn't feel very nice.
Yeah, there are many things that come to bear. One is the stress of being a mother. The other is your questions of your feelings about your body and
right,
your sexuality
yeah.
and stuff. But be that as it may, not enough is made about how exquisitely sensitive women's bodies are to their biology. And there are profound biological changes after a pregnancy. And sometimes something as simple as going on the birth control pill will sort of restore your biology.
Right.
So you might talk to your doctor about that.
You just had a bowling ball come out of your vagina 9 months ago. It's going to throw you. And you're also a young woman. So I'd give yourself a little bit of break. But also, have you guys tried to go on a romantic weekend at all and get a babysitter?
No.
Well, there you go. Why don't you try doing that and have your boyfriend kind of work with you on this? Have you talked to him about this?
Well, we don't really talk about it because I feel bad. And
no, it's okay. It's okay.
Wait a minute. You got to communicate this.
Something's up, though. She's calling from Utah. They've been together for 9 years.
Yeah. But we're not from Utah.
Kid.
We're from Nevada.
Oh. Worse. Much worse. Nevada is it's Florida for people who can't make the flight. Here's the thing though, why aren't you guys married?
He says that he never wants to get married to anyone.
Why? Right. And you've somehow bought into that, and that's part of your self esteem problem.
And you're cool with that?
I'm okay with it.
No,
we love each other.
No,
you're
she's
not. Okay
not.
With that.
She's just. Learn to tolerate it because she feels like it's that or nothing, and she doesn't feel like she's good enough.
It's a self-esteem
assert
thing. Okay.
Herself.
And listen,
yes.
When you have a child, you are very vulnerable, and you're relying on a partner to stay with you, and he won't form any sort of commitment or alliance with you. That's
let me just throw something else out. There are other things that that he gets away with. Does he travel without you for long periods of time?
No, not at all.
Okay. He has sex with other women, though.
No, he doesn't.
No, I beg your pardon.
You guys live together. Do you live together?
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
What's he do for a living?
We both work at a convenience store.
All right. So it's like as far as travel goes, it's the moped only has a 87-mile range, maximum
okay.
range.
We'll
so it's not going anywhere.
All right. So the weekend alone, the two of you is probably not coming up anytime soon. But you guys talk to him about this. You don't have to just have a weekend go somewhere. You can have somebody. You have your mom lives with you or lives close by?
in the same house.
Well, how can anybody feel sexy with mom 18 feet away?
Yeah,
I know.
Okay, so give yourself a break.
There is all that, but you got to remember too, the placenta is pumping out huge amounts of androgens, progesterone.
Okay.
And if you were talking to a male who'd just been on steroids for 9 months, and then he went, hey, my libido's been down, we go, yeah, no kidding. You just took a bunch of steroids that were way outside of your normal physiology. Well, that's what pregnancy's like.
What the good doctor is saying is you're normal, it's okay,
right.
Cut yourself some slack.
That's right.
And try to find some time together, and don't put up with not getting married to this guy if you want that. Or, you know,
I couldn't imagine working a convenience store. Like, once in a while I pop into the convenience store, and it's like, I'm nervous for the 86 seconds I'm in actually in there. I'm always finding myself sort of looking over my shoulder. I don't know what it is. There's something very uncomfortable about the environment. Maybe I've seen too much footage of guys getting around. You know what really screws me now is half of them are behind the bulletproof glass now. So now it's like I'm in the ocean. There's a shark somewhere around, and I'm talking to guys in a shark cage, and I'm like, how you doing?
Seals in a shark cage.
There's a seal in a shark cage just sliding me chum underneath the thing, and I'm like, this is great for you.
The
this
lighting is scientifically figured out to get you the hell out of there.
Yeah, it really.
Get what you need and get out of there. Your eyeballs will dry up and fall out of your head.
You actually feel yourself being pushed by fluorescent rays. Uh-huh. Like, it is weird. Like, you walk in there, and you immediately... First off, I'm always amazed that a convenience store like at the gas station has amazing range. Like, the store itself is 12 foot by 12 foot. It's got briquettes, frozen yogurt, and tire inflator,
within
4 feet of each other.
And I love those impulse buys at 4:30 in the morning that you can possibly get.
Right. I'm gonna need the self-lighting briquettes, just in case. But... the idea that the guy's behind the glass, to me, makes it much more likely that someone's going to storm in here and then use me as a hostage. Open the cash register or the nappy head one gets a bullet. Like, somehow now you're going to get in between the gun and the crime. I don't like that feeling. And you know what they ought to do with that glass? They ought to paint something nice on it. Like you know how they disguise the cell phone towers? They make them look like trees?
Yeah, right.
Do something with that glass. Put clouds on it or something so it just doesn't look like it's there to stop bullets.
Put fish in it.
There you go.
Oh,
yes.
That, right.
You know.
This is
genius.
Maybe
even some video footage on they project on that.
You take the glass and you make it about you
leave it make like a screensaver.
No, you just leave a 6-inch gap in there. In it, you
little
have
fishies.
A tropical fish going around.
Now, actual put fish in.
Yeah, when you're outside of
perfect,
it looks
perfect.
Like the entire thing is filled with whatever. Have the guy talk to you. Make the bloop bloop sound when he's going.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm dressed like Diver Dan.
Yeah, I need some camel eyes. Yeah, they never talk, really. I mean, they don't say thanks or come again or anything like that. It'd be fine. I like that.
I like that, too.
Let's put fish in there. Plus, make people less likely to shoot at it. Jason?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yep.
You got caught shoplifting.
Yeah, that's right. At Rite Aid.
At Rite Aid? Mm-hmm. What were you stealing?
Condoms.
No, gum.
Gum.
Why?
Nice.
What?
Why?
I didn't have enough money. And I also bought some cards.
You didn't have enough money for gum?
Yeah. My breath really smelled crappy, so I needed it.
All right. You wanted to be fresh.
So you got busted?
Yeah. Look, if having fresh breath is a crime, well then take Jason off to juvie.
So what happened?
Okay, so I got it, and apparently there was some like undercover guard, and he caught me when I walked out.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then he took me out back and had me fill out some paperwork and crap. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So then he called up my parents, and they came and got me, my mom.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're all pissed at me, and I have to join the Boy Scouts, which really sucks. So
really? Isn't 15 a little old for the Boy Scouts?
Exactly.
Yeah, you're the Eagle Scout in waiting.
Yeah, but you're like a 15-year-old guy stuffed into a Weebelo outfit.
I like the way, the fantasy interventions by the parents.
That's it.
Boy Scouts will serve. Will
That's
take
it,
care of
Stephen.
This.
You are going to the Boy Scouts. Maybe you can get that little pin that you get for shoplifting. Successful shoplifting. How does this make you want to call Loveline?
Yeah.
I wanted you to give me an excuse to get out of it or something.
So get out of going to the Boy Scouts?
You got a self-inflicted stab wound.
The first day, tell them that, you know, the guy was checking out your crotch the whole time you were there. Your parents won't let you go.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You need to go to some other kind of treatment for this.
Well, what, for stealing gum?
No, there's something else going on.
Yeah, Jason, well, you are a pain in the ass. What's up? What's going on with you?
Parents divorced?
No.
They're right. Together. But what are
alcoholic?
You?
Yeah, sometimes.
Hey.
No,
I'm
just kidding.
Nobody?
Where's my bourbon?
What, is your dad one of these guys who's busy with work all the time?
No. I'm
He's good to you?
Are you a Mormon?
No. But I think it might be because I live in Van Nuys, kind of. I'm on the border of Sherman Oaks and Van Nuys.
Yeah, that's Van Nuys.
Yeah. That's abuse.
That's abuse. All right. Does Jason really have a question? Or?
No, I don't know what
No, and I think that's bogus, because you can't send someone at 15 to the Boy Scouts.
All right.
Nobody does that.
Come on, these calls tonight.
That's BS.
Let's get an interesting call in here.
Hubby cheated.
Mm? Okay,
His
let's
mom
hear that
set
one.
It all up.
Let's take a break, and then we'll go to the...
What?
Let's just say something. Casey?
Casey.
Yes.
You're 23. Your husband cheated.
Yes.
His mom, your husband's mother set this up?
Yes.
Tell me.
Okay, it was about a year ago, exactly. We had ran into his first love, and his mother was like, don't trust her, she's conniving, and I just believed her, you know, okay, I don't trust her, and, well, his mother and his sister started inviting her over to barbecues. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, they just want to be friends, and I had left state to go visit my mother, and she invited my husband over, told him not to go to work, and invited this girl over, and was like, oh, well, you want to kiss her? Go ahead. Nobody's going to know. And even told them, oh, you can use my bathroom.
How
I won't
did you
let
find,
anybody come in
there. How did you find this out?
He had actually went to the bar with her, and a friend of mine seen him and called me and told me.
Yeah, but how
did you confront him?
How did you find out that the mother said, go ahead and kiss him?
Oh, I actually...
Your husband told you this?
No, he denied nobody knew. But
who
in
told
fact,
you this?
His whole family knew. He,
How did you find out?
I found out that she knew from her daughter. I had confronted them.
I want to know. Hey, Casey, we got to take a break. But don't worry, we're going to get back to you.
Who told
Casey's
you
got that
this?
Little girl voice. How did you find out that the mom said, go ahead and kiss him?
My sister-in-law.
How did she find out?
She was there.
Oh,
how did, what did she told you this?
She's she just found out her husband, my husband's brother cheated. And
right.
So she was like,
right. Hold on
knew.
A second. Hold on.
Okay.
Now, by the way, I don't know what that white trash gene is where you have to go after everybody except for the guy who's
the perpetrator.
Who the dick is attached to, who actually put it in the vagina, the other thing.
Right.
It's a great thing, though. I mean, I love this, why everyone loves Springer, to see the two girls going at it.
Yeah.
Parents, everybody but the guy who actually did the humping.
Yeah.
And I love that, too. Like, your mom pulled you aside. You'll not be going to work today. what's your mom do? Write you a note?
It was
dear,
all against
lawyer.
His
like,
will.
I just like the idea that you're an adult man and your mom's saying, like she's going to pin a note to you on Tuesday when you go in, like so you don't get fired. Because your mom says she's pulling you out of work today. And then she's going to bite you. She's going to kiss. Start you kissing.
Don't
go on, no, use the tongue.
And then people believe... these crazy, crazy stories.
Yeah, there's no doubt that mom's a piece of
no,
work.
No, but yeah, mom is nuts, obviously. But the thing is that it's easier for you to dislike mom because it has less to do with about what it's about you. That you could fall for a guy who could do this to you.
Oh, my God. And all these people with their parent or in-law or whatever stories about how the mom controls him and he's great except for when he's around her and he only listens. No, that's an idiot. Listen, I knew not to listen to my mom when I was 9.
Yeah.
If my mom started, my mom said anything that had to do with, like, you shouldn't be talking to her.
No,
there's
a simple rule.
There's
a simple rule. You cannot blame your parents unless you're still a child.
Huh.
That's the simple rule.
That's good.
Good.
All right. We're gonna come back with Casey. Also, she got that little girl voice.
Yep.
And she's calling for from Bakersfield.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole bunch of things going on.
And this is for Bakersfield. I mean, this could be the mayor and the police chief. I mean, this is
top of the heap.
The calls started slow, but they're starting to pick up right here.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back.
Music. Whoop, whoop. Music. What's going on here?
Is your mic not on?
Accused on cues on cues on cues on cues on cues on cues. My cues, my kisser, my kisser, Ozzy. It's all kisser. It's always like my kisser.
Yeah.
Mazoom. Mazzy.
I just heard this is the original Double Dutch.
Yeah, it is.
That's right.
Hey, everybody. Rob Schneider's in our studio tonight. Good Charlotte tomorrow night. When we left off, we were speaking to Casey. Casey's husband cheated, but it was...
Not his fault. It was his mom's fault.
Mom pulled his penis out, massaged it until it became engorged with blood, and put
she
it
She gave him a roofie.
Vagina.
He didn't know what happened. He woke
That's
up,
right.
and he had cheated.
That's
completely
right.
innocent.
Casey.
Don't blame him.
All right. And now, first off, you got that little girl voice. Were you ever abused?
No.
No sexual abuse?
No.
All right. Where's your dad?
He's in Texas.
Uh-huh. And do you have a stepdad?
Yes, I do.
You like him?
Yeah, so-so.
He's all right, guy?
Why'd your dad leave?
He was abusive.
Ah.
I thought you said you had no abuse.
No, to my mother. He was physically abusive to my mother.
And you were exposed to all that?
I wasn't. My mother left when I was young.
Mm-hmm. Left you?
No, left dad.
Left my dad when I was young.
Okay. Yeah, but were you exposed to all the violence?
No.
Okay, but she put up with him for an extended period of time?
For a while.
How were you not exposed to that?
She was with him for a while with my older sister, and I was about 3 when she left him.
So you were exposed to it during the most critical periods of development?
Just say yes so we can move forward here.
Hey, yes, I was.
All right, and the stepdad, and your mom went and married another guy?
Yes.
And he wasn't...
divorced him.
He was abusive, too, right?
Yes.
Shocking.
Okay, so you were surrounded by examples of your mom putting up with guys who were not nice to her.
Yes.
All right, to say the least.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Well, this is what happens. This is how it works. And
so the way it works is either you pick another guy who's equally as abusive of your dad... Or you pick a nice guy, and you expect abuse from him, and you see it in everything he does.
And you can't tolerate it. And eventually you can't tolerate it if he's good.
Well, that's how you push it away, by seeing the abuse there.
So, and also, if it's something that if you're with a guy and you would put up with more crap than
anybody,
and make excuses for him because you're expecting him to do bad things.
All right, it's got to be the women's fault.
Do you
because I'm pissed at mom for exposing you to that
kind of thing. Do you have any kids with this guy?
Yes, we have 3.
No.
Oh, my
perfect.
God.
So
3.
There's a real reason to make it.
By the way, I would argue still ahead of the curve for Bakersfield.
And for Loveline, for Loveline too.
Still well ahead of the Bakersfield curve. All right, listen. First off, could you two tards quit having kids? Please? Jesus Christ. What, are you personally trying to take down the United States? She's
no
a vagina. It's a weapon. It really is. It's an
economic
she's
weapon.
Really,
it's
enemy
a womb.
Of the people.
It's a womb. It's
yeah.
A womb.
All right. And what's your husband do?
He works in the oil fields.
In the what?
The oil fields.
The oil fields. All right. So at least he's got a gig. So what do you plan on doing?
I don't. I'm trying to get over it. He says I should be completely over it and be fine with it.
How long? How long ago was it?
He's very generous that way.
Yeah.
You should be over it already.
You should actually be coming on to the phase where you pay me for having sex. I'm surprised it takes so long to get there. So what? How long has it been?
The last time he was with her was in December of last year. So it's come on a year.
Yeah. Okay.
So what do you just yell at him occasionally and say, well, and bring it up all the time, or what happens?
No, actually, the first couple months I did.
Okay.
And he would come back and accuse me.
Accuse you of what?
He would say that I cheat.
Okay.
Because I would go to the store.
Where were you?
I was cheating.
You were going to the store buying stuff behind my back.
Condoms.
Groceries.
All right.
Yeah, and
all right, listen, Casey. Let's get over. Let's move on. You have 3 kids.
Let me tell you 2 jobs.
Mom?
No. Don't have any more kids, please.
I'm not.
The love of Christ. Yeah, and God knows what you're doing not to have kids. You're shoving bubble gum up your coos. Like, what are you doing? You're on birth control?
No,
what are you doing?
My tubes tied.
All right. Hey. We're going to send you out a windbreaker.
We have a winner. Yes.
The other part is I know you're screwed up. I know your parents are screwed up, and your dad's abusive, and you're only 23, and you have all the juice inside you of a young, screwed-up woman. On the other hand, you have 3 kids not to screw up.
So how old are they?
You have to just stop it.
Don't
you have to put it all aside. Okay. And this is why you shouldn't crank out a bunch of kids when you're young and stupid, because you're young and stupid first and a mother second.
Right.
When you're 33 and this kind of stuff happens, you can get a little distance from it, you can push it aside a little bit and sort of focus on parenting. That's what Casey needs to do. I know she's not going
to
do it.
She has to forgive. He has to form a relationship.
Yeah.
You got to stay stable.
By the way, the kids, it's not a matter of if you're going to screw them up. It's now
how much
you're going to screw them
limit
up.
Limit the damage. Okay.
Right. They're already in junior college. That's the level. They're heading for junior college.
Yeah.
Now, you have prison, which is a notch above.
In Bakersfield.
But, yeah. So it goes like this. It goes a four-year university, prison, then junior college, then the grave. And there's even some debate on swapping the grave in junior college. But just try not to screw them up anymore, please. And all right. Jake?
Yes.
You're 21?
Yeah, I'm 21. I was wondering, my first question is Adam, I saw you at a Distillers concert in Yorba Linda. And I'll give you a CD of my band, and I wondered if you actually listened to it, you know?
Distillers?
Yeah, you saw the Distillers?
No, was it
Yorba Linda?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, jeez.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I listened to the CD. It sucked. No. I haven't listened to it. People hand me CDs all the time. I just throw them.
Yeah, I understand.
I don't throw them away though. I never throw anything away.
But they go in the gutter. You never see them again.
No, I throw them in my car. My car's
tough. You gotta understand what it's like. People giving them stuff all the time. I mean, some guy gave me like music to give to Tom Cruise because Tom Cruise was doing Mission Impossible 4, and he had a new take on the Mission Impossible. And I just take it, and then like when I get on the plane, I throw it away.
He's
just trying to be nice. You got to understand. I mean, it's a difference between hustling and just like imposing on somebody just because they happen to be famous. But you know what? You got to take a chance.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do. But here, let me just say this, and I'll put them on hold because this does happen to me a lot. That people hand me stuff and say, "Hey, man, you know, somehow I'm going to be the conduit to success."
Yeah.
Here's your conduit to success: being good.
And persistent.
Yeah.
If you're good, you're going to make your own break.
Being good and being persistent and being consistent, persistent, and good. But it's not about...
Nobody is stopping anybody from being really talented.
No.
And finding success. It's just hard work. I mean, no one ever gave me a break, honest. Nobody.
No.
Nobody.
No. He was beaten up by locals. His whole childhood.
No,
with,
but just like,
longboard.
You just get... You know what? You get good, people will eventually come to you. But you just... Keep hustling. You know, keep working at it.
No, people think better to not be talented and get Tom Cruise in a corner for 10 minutes.
Right.
And they don't understand that. Even if it did work, it only works once.
Yeah.
Then what? Then you got
to
be talented.
And then you corner him, and then you get him to play, to listen to the whatever. And if it's really not that good,
it sucks.
Keep working on your thing. You know what I mean?
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Well, that's the show. Man, that was fast.
God, that went by quick.
That's good.
No real out-and-out sickos, just the usual couple of losers.
We'll double down on the sickos tomorrow. Plus, good Charlotte's coming in tomorrow. So
that's going to be good.
They could park here.
Yeah,
they
will do multiple shows.
And Blink 182, is that what?
Yeah.
Tuesday.
Did they get their name off of Scarface, something like that? That's what I heard.
They've told us before, and I can't remember what it is, but we'll ask
them. I think Scarface, the number of times he says MF or something.
Really?
We'll ask on your behalf on Tuesday.
I'm not
night.
Really that interested. I just, you know, that's the only
thing I
know about
that. I'm going to tell me dying to know. Rob Schneider, everybody. Go out and rent Deuce Bigelow.
And
why not?
Yeah. What?
And the animal.
Oh, and the animal. Yeah. And the hot chick. And Rob will come in here when he's got something else to plug or if he has something else to plug.
It was just a pleasure to hang. It was a nice hang tonight. I enjoyed it to see you guys.
Anytime you like,
big
Rob.
Fans of the show. You know, I love you guys.
Thank you.
I love you.
Right.
I love you.
Until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
That's it, Stephen. You are going to the Boy Scouts.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.